A new novel called The Fisherman tells the story of four brothers in Nigeria who find themselves in the grip of a terrible prophecy. One day on a forbidden fishing trip, a local madman tells the eldest boy he will be killed by one of his brothers. The tale that unfolds is reminiscent of the biblical story of Cain and Abel. The Fisherman is Chigozie Obioma's debut novel. The Nigerian-born author joins me now. And Chigozie, the Omiala River where the brothers fish becomes a fearsome character in your book. Why is that?
So rivers and water bodies are something that are very sacred in African culture. That Omiala, that river that snakes through the length and breadth of the town, actually was at one time seen as a river of value. So there are gods. There is this water spirit or ancestral spirit called the Yemoja, who was believed to live there. Civilization comes and erodes the traditional culture of the people. Some of these things are forgotten. So those sentiments die away, you know, because the people now are mostly Christians or Muslims. And so when certain things like, you know, bodies being found in the river happens, people now completely abhor the river and think it's a place where nobody should go.
And you write about something that was once sacred that becomes essentially defiled. And it does bring to mind the references to Christianity that you have all the way throughout this book. There's a line that stayed with me near the beginning when the boy's mother finds out they've been taking secret trips to this dangerous river to fish. And she says, "The eye that mocks a father that scorns an aged mother will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vulture." And Ben, the narrator of the story, says those lines from Proverbs are the most frightening in the Bible. I wonder, what role did you want religion to play in your book?
So, Peter, I've been trying to grapple with these paradox that African countries like Nigeria, how is it that although we have become British children with surrogate mothers, how is it that we still have and actually believe somewhat in our ancestral cultures? And, you know, the family is extremely Christian, but still they believe in these things. They believe that this river has this thing, that Abulu is who he claims to be.
Abulu is the madman.
The madman. So religion is a very essential, you know, part of people's lives, and so are these characters. So I'm trying to explore, can we have both together? And I mean the ancestral traditions of, that is very African, and the Western imposed or acquired values of Christianity.
Right. And maybe politics, it follows closely along with this. I don't want to give too much away from this book, but suffice it to say that the brothers, who are once very close, are completely ripped apart. And it sounds to me like whether it's through religion or whether it's through the politics that weaves its way throughout this book, that you are trying to say something much larger about the state of your country. What do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. It is, in fact, a commentary. I mean, the novel, the germ of the idea came to me when I was living away from Nigeria in a kind of what I like to call literary exile. Though, you know, I wasn't made. Nobody forced me out. I left on my own. Mm-hmm. You know? So I was in Cyprus and living in this far-flung place where nobody knew. And I was missing home a lot because I have seven brothers. We're 12 children. So we make this joke that we are a soccer team and one reserve, you know. Yeah. One day, my dad and I were talking on the phone, and he told me about the increasing closeness between my two oldest brothers, who they used to have this very serious sibling rivalry, and they would fight, you know, at times. And no one thought they would ever get along. But now in their early 30s, they'd become so close that they did everything together. So I started to think after that call in 2009 that I would create this closed-knit entity maybe a family or just about any organization at all, and then try to explore what is it that can come between them and tear them apart. Mm. So that was where the idea of that family came. So, and then I had been reading this book by an American historian, Will Durant, about the great civilizations. And there was this concurrent statement he kept making that a great civilization cannot be destroyed from the outside, has come from within. Mm. So I thought it was a perfect thing for me to now have this family as a kind of allegory for an entity like Nigeria, where you had these disparate states, and then an external force like Abulu comes in and says, be a country, be this way. And then, you know, we believe it, and we are running an unsustainable country that is not working based on the ideas of the external force that was British.
And Chigozie, your timing, I don't know if you did this on purpose or not, but as you know, later this month, Muhammadu Buhari, Nigeria's president-elect, will be taking right. power from Goodluck Jonathan. It's a historic transfer of power.
Absolutely.
Buhari, a former military dictator, you know, he was essentially voted into office because people were optimistic that he had what it take to fight the jihadist group Boko Haram, the group that's been absolutely terrorizing the country. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, so I think Chinua Achebe, the great Nigerian writer, was at his most proverbial when he said that a person who does not know where the rain started beating him cannot know how to hide from the rain. So we first have to go back. We have to see where our problem really is. And I think that it is in the foundation of the country itself. It is the very idea of Nigeria. And I'm not the only one who has been calling for us to take a step back, dismantle this contraption that was made by the British, and then assess by ourselves, can we sustain a country that's Nigeria? And if yes, on what terms? You know, it's a good thing that there was, in fact, a very successful transition of government. But what is he going to do? He cannot be a miracle worker. You know, I think he would just continue to run a country that cannot be sustained, I think. Mm.
You brought him up, so I will too. You have been called the heir to Chinua Achebe. You know, this is one of the most famous African authors, the most famous authors of the last 100 years. What do you do with something like that? You're not even 30 years old.
You know, Peter, I was embarrassed by that, you know, because, you know, that guy was, as you said, he was very great. He single-handedly started what is African literature in English as we know it now, especially through his African Writers series. He published more than 200 books and made so many writers. And I think it's a garment that I don't hope to try to put on myself. If that accolade, you know, gets me some readers, I'm happy. But I don't think that I see myself as the heir to Achebe, no. Mm.
Who are your readers? Are they Americans or Nigerians?
Just about anybody who is interested in literature. You know, I've always been afraid as to whether people would approach my work because of its content, not its form. Perhaps they'll say something like, I want to read this novel by this African writer because I want to understand Africa, I find Africa exotic. No, then what you'd be doing would be not actually coming to my work because it is actually a work of art. I want anyone who is interested in reading a novel to read my work. You know, I don't have a specific audience, even though I am aware, you know, the Nigerians or the Africans might identify more with the story than you would a foreigner.
Chigozie Obioma talking about his debut novel, The Fisherman. Chigozie, thank you for this book and thank you for speaking with me.
Thank you very much, Peter. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we have an excerpt from that book, The Fisherman, at our website, herenow.org.